A summary of the laws of eating matzah, part 2. Matzah Ashira. What is it, and may one eat it? So matzah Ashira literally means rich man's matzah and can include a variety of types of matzah, some of which are permitted to be eaten on Pesach, but simply forbidden to be eaten for the fulfillment of the mitzvah of eating matzah night of the 15th, and some of which are forbidden to be eaten by Ashkenazim, but permitted to be eaten by Sfardim. So everybody agrees that you cannot fulfill the obligation of eating matzah with matzah that's defined as matzah ashira, such as matzah that is kneaded with fruit juices, or matzah that is even dipped in fruit juices and made sweet due to them, or matzah that is baked very thick, as it's no longer considered poor man's bread. A further reason for invalidating for the fulfillment of eating matzah that was made through fruit juice instead of water, is because matzah, flour that's kneaded with fruit juice, cannot leaven and become chametz. The Torah requires one to guard the matzah from becoming chametz, thus proving that one cannot fulfill his obligation with a matzah that cannot rise by definition and become chametz. And this itself enters us into the next category, matzah shrir, which is debated amongst Ashkenazim and Sfardim. While everyone agrees that matzah that is made using only fruit juice, 100% fruit juice, cannot become chametz, although in the Talmud and Rishonim we find a debate, lahalach, everyone agrees that it cannot become chametz. Practically, Ashkenazim are accustomed to be stringent and not eat such matzah throughout the entire Pesach, due to worry that perhaps a little bit of water will be mixed in, and then it can become chametz instantaneously, in even less than 18 minutes. Sfardim, on the hand, are not worried about this. Thus, all products that are mezainis on Pesach and carry a matzah ashira label with a hefsher are kosher to be eaten only for Sfardim and not for Ashkenazim. And thus, egg matzah, even if it has a hefsher for Pesach, may not be eaten by Ashkenazim throughout the entire Pesach. And the same applies for any other matzah shira product with a hechsher, and it may only be eaten by Sfardim. Nonetheless, Ashkenazim may own matzah shira products that have a kosher for Pesach symbol, and there's no need to get rid of it or sell it to the guy. To note that under the current circumstances of what's available of matzah shira products here in Israel, and is likewise shipped abroad to the diaspora, many Sephardic rabbanim have come out claiming that the hashgacha cannot be relied upon at all, and that these matzah ashira products should be treated as if they're actual chametz, as there are chemicals and even water that are added to it, and therefore it can become chametz instantaneously and is not under the Ashkenazi and Sephardic debate. They thus rule that the papushado cookies are absolute chametz and must be sold to the guy, even though they carry a kosher for Pesach hashgacha of the Rabbanut of Chulon, as they say that it may not be relied upon, as they themselves visited the factories and saw what was going on. Until what time may Ashkenazim eat matzah ashira, egg matzah, if it has hashgacha for Pesach? So practically the custom is to avoid eating matzah ashira beginning from the time that we stop eating chametz. To note that even for Ashkenazim, if a person is old or sick and he has no other food that he can eat other than matzah ashira, then he may be lenient to eat it, just as rule the Sfardim, of course, making sure it has a reliable hashgacha that it's kosher for Pesach. We will now discuss machine-made matzah. So as is known, some 150 years ago, an individual developed a non-electric machine in Europe to bake matzahs very quickly and raise the production level, and this caused a major debate amongst the Poskim and Rabbanim of that time and the later generations as to the status of such matzahs. While the main bulk of the debate surrounded whether such matzahs may be eaten on the night of the 15th for the fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah, as perhaps it's not considered lishma, as how can a machine say l'shei matzahs mitzvah, and perhaps the l'shei matzahs mitzvah said by the person wheeling the machine does not suffice, as it's not his direct action that's making the matzah, but rather an action that then causes another action to happen which makes the matzah. Other Rabbanim cited that this does suffice. So some permitted it to be used for the entire Pesach, and others said that you cannot use it on the night of the 15th, but the remaining days of Pesach, the question was irrelevant as it doesn't need to be lishma from the letter of the law, even though the custom is to do so. However, some went as far and claimed that the matzahs are actually chametz, you can't clean the machines properly, and they therefore said you have to include a mechiras chametz and cannot even own it throughout Pesach. Practically, the Chabad custom is in this regard is as follows. We do not eat machine-made matzah throughout any of the days of Pesach, and therefore we only eat handmade shmura matzah. And this applies even to one's children, as the Rebbe writes, on matters of emunah, one cannot be lenient, so we do not give machine-made matzah even to our children. Even though, of course, had made matzahs much more expensive. And this is due both to reasons of halacha and mystical reasons of Kabbalah that we have not enumerated and that are not known. Nonetheless, in a time of need, the Rebbeim did sanction and permit the use of machine-made matzahs. In fact, the Rebbe's grandfather permitted it, gave a psak to permit it in Russia in his time when it was necessary. And likewise, the Rebbe Rashab would send it out to people for Pesach. Over the recent years, a major debate developed over certain new mechanical machinery that were introduced to hand-baking matzah bakeries that bake shmura handmade matzah, with some claiming that this machinery is similar to the machinery that was under debate in the previous generations, and therefore what they are doing is selling machine-made matzah under the guise of handmade matzah. Other Rabbanim, however, have said that they're not the same at all. The machinery introduced into these matzah bakeries make the matzahs as a direct result of their action of wheeling the machine and do not contain any secondary action as there was in the machines in Europe. The matzahs baked by Rav Hendel are baked in such a bakery and thereby were under this debate for many years. And the debate has not ceded until this day, and practically everyone is to ask their Rav. We personally do not have an arbitration on this matter, as both sides have presented convincible arguments to defend or negate these matzahs. And different Rabbanim rule different ways. And each one is to ask their Rav for a psak. To clarify, however, that after reviewing all of the backs and forths between the Rabbanim on the subject, it seems clear that everyone agrees that these matzahs are not under the debate of Lishma, meaning that according to Halacha, they are 100% valid and may be used on the night of the 15th, and the question is only according to the mystical reason of Kabbalah, which we are not aware of, and if such matzahs can be defined as handmade or if they are defined as machine-made matzah. Thus, according to Halacha, one certainly fulfills his obligation on the night of the 15th, according to all opinions, and certainly on the later days, there is no halachic impediment in eating them, and the whole discussion is regarding Minhag Yisrael and the Kabbalistic reason behind negating machine-made matzah. We will now discuss matzahs kfulas and afuchas. So kfula and afucha matzahs are matzahs that have been invalidated by the Ga'anim, or at least partially invalidated by the Ga'anim, as we will see, due to having a suspicion of chametz. Theoretically, this should be a subject that's relevant only for the hashkachas and the matzah bakeries, as when you pay so much money for your matzahs, you expect them to be kosher l'mahadrin and not have a suspicion of chametz according to the Ga'anim. Practically, however, almost all matzahs from all bakeries contain questions of kfulis and certainly nefuchas, with the more mahadrin and serious bakeries having much less of a volume of shaylas than the more mediocre and average bakeries, seemingly due to having less mashkichim who go through each matzah before it is wrapped up and put in the box. And therefore, as written and suggested already for years, everyone should open their matzah boxes and for kfulis, and get rid of that area of the matzah, as we will discuss. So let's first discuss the issue of nefucha and negate its relevance today. Nefucha is a much more serious problem than kfula in a matzah, and basically it's when the matzah creates an air bubble the size of an average thumb top on the matzah, which is a sign that the entire matzah has become chametz according to the tradition of the Ga'anim. And therefore the entire matzah needs to be thrown out and flushed down the toilet and treated like chametz. While it's not common today to find literally the actual bubble, that's because the bubble has popped. But what you will see is the remnants of the bubble. And in some cases, you even find the bubble itself. And the question is, what do we do today about this if we find this in our mahadran matzahs, with each matzah costing us so much money? The answer is that today, the practical custom is, as brought in the Shari Tshuva, to ignore the problem of nefuchas, as it was only said regarding the thick matzahs of back in the day. However, today's cracker-like matzahs, which has been done for some generations already, no longer contains the worry that a bubble is a suspicion that it's chametz, and hence the custom is even initially to eat it on Pesach, and this is the practical ruling of Meir Heiroz and matzah bakeries. And therefore, there's no need to worry if in your matzahs you find either a bubble on the matzah or a remnant of a bubble, as we're no longer careful in this today. However, regarding the issue of kfulis, this maintains the issue even by today's matzahs, and therefore you must be careful and invest and inspect the matzahs, as we mentioned. So what is a kfula? A kfula is basically a fold in which, during the baking process, the dough folded over onto the matzah, and now that it's baked, you see a folded piece of matzah on your matzah. The fold is only problematic if it's actually touching the matzah, but if it's hovering over the air, even if it's only a slight amount of air between the fold and the bottom of the matzah, then it's not considered a kfula. If you do find a fold that's touching the matzah, which as we said does happen, then you don't have to throw out the whole matzah. All you have to do is cut around that fold about 2 centimeters worth that surrounds it, and that should then be dumped into the toilet or burnt if it's halamayid. This concludes our summary of discussion of matzahs for Pesach. I wish everybody a chag kosher v'sameach.
Thank you for listening to ShulchanArachHarav.com. Our free services of making Torah knowledge available to the public depends on donors like you. Please help us continue our work through making even a small contribution at ShulchanArachHarav.com under the Daily Halacha Dedication section or in the subscription page. Also, check out our online courses and many Sepharim available for purchase that will both enhance your Torah knowledge and help support our work.